Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, July 22nd, 2016. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It's Friday, and I'm doing well.
Yeah, awesome.
Boy, howdy.
I'm glad you're doing well. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Doing good.
Good is absolutely acceptable as well.
So that's like an active thing, Brian. You're out there doing good in the world.
Correct. I chose my words properly.
So yes. You're like a crime fighter?
I can't talk about it.
I understand. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Screen Float from Eternal Storms, and we'll talk about them soon. But before we get there, there is a new report out about the iPhone 7, and this comes courtesy of Deutsche Bank, and their sources are saying that the new iPhone's going to be waterproof. Now, waterproof is something we've heard before, and that in and of itself is not a big deal. What is a big deal is that they're saying that this is going to be like seriously hardcore waterproof. And that's different, and that's also kind of intriguing because that takes the iPhone from where it is today, something that that if you accidentally drop it in a puddle, you can pick it back up out, and it's fine.
Yep.
But the way I'm interpreting this, and if you guys have a different interpretation, of course I want to hear. This is more like if you decide to hop in the pool and swim around for a while and then realize you still have an iPhone in your pocket, no big deal.
Well, so here's the thing. The Deutsche Bank analyst, the quote that Business Insider has from them says professional class waterproofing. So, yes, that's different than, you know, water resistance. In fact, waterproofing is an interesting thing. There's watch manufacturers often won't even most watch manufacturers won't even say that their watches are waterproof. They will say they're water resistant to a certain pressure. Now, the thing is, your current class of iPhones, the 6S, 6S Plus, and the iPhone SE, based on their tests, would survive the exact scenario you described, Jeff, right? You could swim around for an hour, and it's probably going to be okay.
I didn't realize you could swim that long.
Well, I don't know about that test, but I do know about like in a bucket. So basically somewhere between 8 to 12 inches of water, they all tend to survive quite well for an hour or sometimes more. So if you're swimming, there's a little more pressure because you're moving around and that sort of thing. But, there's a difference between swimming on the surface and swimming, 30 meters down. 30 meters down, I don't think your phone's going to do all that well. But yeah.
The reception will suck, too.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to hear it. I think it's possible. There's two ways to interpret this. One is that Apple is going to finally put a stamp on it and confirm what the iPhone currently has in so much as the future model would have exactly the same thing. Apple's just now going to say it, which they did not with the current one, or they've stepped it up even more so than this. And they're also going to put their stamp on that. It'll be interesting to see. But a good thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In addition to the technical differences between waterproofing and water resistance, there is also a liability difference.
Correct. Yes.
Oh yeah. And that I would be fascinated if Apple actually used waterproof. Just fascinated. But yeah. this is certainly one of the reasons why I think that Apple wanted to eliminate the headphone jack, and possibly has wanted to eliminate the button. I don't know if that one's still going to come true.
Yeah, yeah.
But the headphone jack, the thing about the headphone jack, I've seen people say, give me one compelling reason to eliminate the headphone jack, and I can actually give you three. Internal space, it's the part that breaks the most, and it's a point of egress for moisture.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of a no-brainer.
So here's an interesting thing, though. Ben Lovejoy over at 9to5 Mac yesterday posted an article with a screenshot using iOS 10 Beta 3. And the screenshot says, disconnect Lightning accessory. Liquid has been detected in the Lightning connector. To protect your iPhone, disconnect this Lightning accessory and allow the connector to dry. And so this is with, I guess it was everything Apple. So 9to5 Mac found their piece and found it in a video. But that, you know, that's interesting. That's with a current iPhone, not, you know, not some new unreleased thing. This is current iPhone, iOS 10 Beta 3, in whatever the right condition is, says take whatever you got in your Lightning port out. We've detected moisture. Let it dry.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it tells us that, okay, now Apple's known this. If this exists in iOS 10, it only can because the sensor has been there since September, right? So, you know, because Apple didn't change the hardware when they put the beta out, when they put the beta software out. So,
yeah, they haven't figured out how to do that yet.
No, and the first hardware manufacturer that does is going to be very, very heralded, I will say. Well rewarded if they play their cards right. But I think it's impossible. So, you know, there's that too.
True, true. All right, so we are, at this point, I guess it's okay to say we are several weeks away from the new iPhone announcement, because that typically comes in September. We're in the last half of July right now.
I think we could even say a couple of months.
Yeah, it might be less than that. It could be a month and a half.
So we're back to several weeks.
We're back to several weeks.
See, I always interpret several weeks. Now we're getting into the mostly pedantic. That always seems like three to me. But it's not. I don't think it's 3 weeks. I think it's about six.
I agree. And Jeff keeps trying to foist off this other usage of several on us, and I will not stand for it.
No. I'm going to say we're 6 to 8 weeks away.
I'm a rebel like that, Brian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is ScreenFloat. Did you like how I just kind of ended that one for you right there?
I did, yeah. It was good.
Yeah, thank you. ScreenFloat, it's a really cool app for the Mac that lets you take screenshots, and then it leaves those screenshots floating above all the other windows on your desktop. And that's kind of cool, because maybe you need to take a screenshot and then have it as a reference, and then maybe you're jumping between different applications and you want to have that handy so that you can just drop it into several different applications for whatever you're doing. And it lets you do all of that. It also includes this really cool interface that manages all of your screenshots for you. So if you have to take gobs of screenshots, I believe that is a technical term, gobs, and then go back and find specific ones for whatever it is that you're working on. Maybe you're trying to show your parents how to do something on their Mac, and so now you're giving them screenshots. Great. Okay, so they'll all be organized together, and then you can select various screenshots and tell the app ScreenFloat what to do with them. So you can grab a bunch of shots and say, email these to Dave, or text them to Brian, or open them in Photoshop or Pixelmator or whatever. And it just makes for a really nice little nexus point for dealing with all the screenshots you're capturing. So anyhow, it's a handy app. It doesn't cost very much. It's only $8.99. So what you need to do is go to the Eternal Storms website and check this out. And that's eternalstorms.at/screenfloat. And once you're there, you'll be able to find a demo version you can download and try out. When you decide this is really the thing for you, then it's only going to cost you $8.99 to get your copy, which is a pretty nice deal. So check that out, eternalstorms.at/screenfloat. And thank you, ScreenFloat, for being our sponsor today. Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about today, Brian, you found an interesting report about how law enforcement, is it law enforcement, has found a way to replicate someone's fingerprint after they are dead and then use that to unlock their smartphone.
in the words of a fellow with a mustache, nine. It is a company. It's actually, I'm sorry, it's a professor. It's a law professor.
Oh, no, a law professor. Okay.
Not a law professor. Now I'm giving up. It is Anil Jain, a professor at Michigan State University. The reporting comes to us from Fusion.net. He is a computer scientist, and his specialty has been biometric identifiers. And his, like, all his research has been on how to make devices more secure. But the FBI approached him with a project, and he took a nerdy, geeky, academic interest in it, and they've been pursuing it. And here's the deal. Take fingerprints, make a 3D printed finger with those fingerprints, and then use that to unlock a smartphone, most likely an iPhone. I assume it's an iPhone, but they're not actually saying. And so they've been working on this. Now, there are lots of very interesting and specifics to this case that make it ideal for the FBI to do this sort of thing. The first is that it's a victim's phone. They believe that there's information about his killer on the device. So this is not a suspect's phone. So there are no Fifth Amendment protections or concerns, or, you know, it's completely irrelevant. And in addition to that, the victim is dead. So, you know, they have all of their bases covered from a legal standpoint of being able to do this. And the only problem being that if it's an iPhone, they're spending weeks on this. And of course, an iPhone requires a passcode after 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not going to work, but this is just the beginning of the story.
Dave, you sounded like you wanted to say something.
No, I was just catching up with the realization that, yeah, this is an interesting path, but it sounds like it's mostly academic and not going to apply here.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Now, it could be an Android device. But I don't know of any Android devices that are truly unlockable this way. I guess they're probably some out there.
Unlockable with a fingerprint?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Oh, they've had it a long time. It's on the most of the ones I've seen, it's a little bit different. You have to actively roll your finger or thumb across a sensor, as opposed to the iPhone, where you'd simply place it on the sensor. And it could, of course, be argued that that's more convenient because you won't ever accidentally unlock your phone. Although iOS 10 sort of deals with that because it unlocks it without changing what you're seeing, which is awfully handy. Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right.
So, and the other thing is there, you know, it takes you're looking for that skin thing and the chemicals and whatnot. And I'm at a loss for technical words here.
Someone will toss galvanic in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. To actually activate the touch ID sensor, they're approaching this by coating the 3D printed finger with a metallic coating that would activate the same response. So it's super interesting. But now, if you have to start somewhere, right? Clearly,
right.
If this takes weeks, it's useless for an iPhone. But if they could prove that this works, you throw enough money at this, and these fingers, these, you know.
Then you can start printing 3D fingers pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. And if they can, I mean, if I was law enforcement, I would absolutely want this ability. Fine. You don't, you know, I already have the legal right to take your fingerprints because you've been arrested. So now I have your fingerprints, and you don't want to unlock your phone? Screw you.
We'll just print your finger and do it ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it could be done with, in this case, the victim is dead, and they have all his fingers to print. But it could be done with a live person too, and it could be done with a suspect's phone in addition to a victim's phone. And this is going to be a new wrinkle in this ongoing fight over privacy and security. And keep in mind too that if the good guys could do this, the bad guys could do this too. Foreign governments can do this. Criminal organizations could theoretically do this. They could get a hold of your fingerprints. And I guarantee you that, well, I don't guarantee, I shouldn't say I guarantee because I have no idea. I would be shocked if all of the databases of fingerprints that exist in the world were secure. So, you know, yeah. This is definitely a new white rabbit to follow in the security world.
Well, then the other side of this is, at what point have we crossed a line into infringing on people's privacy and protection from self-incrimination?
Well, that's a good question. My guess is when it comes to smartphones in general, you know, we've already had a judge say that now you can't force him to divulge his passcode, but
the fingerprint you can do.
Yeah, you can physically force someone, you know, hold their hand with a gun to their head, I suppose. I don't know the limitations there, but you can force someone to apply their own fingerprint to their device.
Yeah.
According to one judge. I personally find that to be insane.
I have a feeling that will be tested again, but I
you think?
Yeah.
Just a hunch.
But yeah, that's the way it is now. But it opens up that whole conversation over, you know, that I've brought up before. Where does the line get drawn? Should we even be unlocking people's phones at all? We store so much private information on there. But we shouldn't, right? It, you know, the only place private stuff should truly be stored is in our heads, because that is untouchable. It cannot force us to divulge what we know in our head.
If you want them to be secure, you mean?
If you, yes, private, right. Private information to be secure. That's right. Yes, very good distinction, Brian. Yeah, but right now that's the only place, right? And maybe it has to remain that way. I don't like that thought, but otherwise, how do you draw the line?
You're skipping over a possible solution that actually begs the question of where do you draw the line? And that possible solution is that Fifth Amendment protections be extended to our smartphones, and I would even add uniquely to our smartphones, because
that's the thing.
At this day and age, smartphones occupy a very unique space in our lives.
That's true. Yeah, a smartphone, I think, is more likely to hold very personal information than many other electronic devices we own. And it's simply because it is such a personal device and it's with us all the time.
But okay, and again, I'm just gonna. I like where you're going with this, but how is that different from, say, the combination of our landline phone records, our daytimer, pen and paper based planner that has all of our contacts and calendar information, right? All of that stuff, our letters that now are email or texts. Right. You know, like all of this stuff has an analog.
That's right? True.
So and that stuff very clearly is not protected. In fact, unless you have eyewitness accounts, most crimes have been proven by things just like that. Right. Here's this evidence. Here's this stuff that we have. I like the idea of protecting our phones, but it doesn't fit if we're not going to therefore then protect all this other stuff that's been the cornerstone of our, you know, criminal justice system for a long time.
Well, okay, but we can actually make arbitrary.
Oh, I know. Yeah. The argument comes very, very quickly.
It does. Absolutely. And it's certainly no, so let me actually give you a quote here that Brian Choi was quoted in this Fusion article, and we're going to be writing about this on Friday at the Mac Observer. But let me find the first quote from Mr. Choi. He said, boy, I'm doing it. The Fifth Amendment protects against self-incrimination. Here, the fingerprints are the deceased victim, not the murder suspect. Obviously, the victim is not at risk of incrimination. And then he was quoted further to argue. He has apparently made, who is this guy anyway? There's a reason why he's being quoted here. He is a researcher in this area. So, you know, for whatever that's worth. And he then further said that we offload so many of our personal thoughts, moments, tics, and habits to our cell phones. Having those contents aired in court feels like having your innermost thoughts extracted and spilled unwillingly in public. And his stance basically is that Fifth Amendment protection should be extended to our phones. He may or may not be right. I agree with everything that Dave just said, but the really interesting thing is that by the time any legislation could be passed and signed into law and tested, we will have moved on to the next paradigm.
Right. Yeah, that's possible.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the thing is I don't think it'll get there. I think these discussions need to happen and it's good for us to have them, but I don't think we'll get there.
No, probably not. And lawmaking tends to be a reactionary as opposed to a proactive process. That's so right. By its nature, it is always behind the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, sort of by design. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah. All right. Well, I'm not feeling any more comfortable knowing someone can potentially 3D print my fingers and get into my iPhone.
Yeah, you know, I want to emphasize again too. There is such a world of difference between law enforcement here in the United States doing so legally and with warrants, you know, and with theoretical court oversight, you know, with checks and balances. But if we can do that, if law enforcement can do that here, anybody on the planet can do it.
Yep.
Eventually,
you have to assume that. That's correct.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the bigger reason why I'm just not comfortable with this. All right. Well, hey, on that happy note, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be the bearer of delicious tidings.
Yeah, that's really swell. Yeah. And Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks for being delicious, Brian.
As you always are. And ScreenFloat from Eternal Storms, thank you for being our sponsor all week. Head over to their website, eternalstorms.at/ScreenFloat, and pick up your copy of ScreenFloat for only $8.99. It's a pretty slick little app and pretty useful too. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again on Monday.